Blog Talk Radio.
Show up. Good morning and welcome to Zambia Blog Talk Radio. It's Saturday, May 28th, and days are flying really fast. We have a great and exciting show for you today. We are going to Northern Zambia. I think we'll be talking to Lee Alba. He's somewhere in Mbala, Mpulungu area, that side. That's where we are going to go today. And then after that, we'll have an opportunity to speak to Mwansa God, who is a prominent person and one of our team members here. She's down in Lusaka attending the AGOA conference, which will be starting next week. So we just thought that we should talk to her with our good friend Titus as well. They are both down in Lusaka. And then on our business forum for campaign and supporting the districts, we are going to go to Chingola in the Copper Belt. That's going to be an exciting discussion. And I trust that everybody will be down there, and we are looking forward to a great discussion. Okay. Uncle GM, good morning.
Good afternoon from here. How are you?
You know, us guys in America, we are used to saying good morning. Isn't that so, Yareka?
Yes, it is.
Good morning there, but it's afternoon here. How are you?
I know. How is everything going there with the euphoria of the soccer game between Manchester and Barcelona?
It's something else. We'll see how far it will go. You know, football is taking up people's time more like it's a religion in a way.
I know. That's something else. You know, I always laugh about it. And the interesting thing is that when you look at the situation there, you know, everybody in the, whether they are living in Africa, in Asia, even here, you'll find people posting stuff on the Facebook. Yeah, Rick, I always laugh, you know.
About soccer, right?
Yeah, but European soccer, for that matter, that's just the whole thing that tends to grasp the attention and lifestyle of the people. Anyway, it's exciting, and let's see what is going to happen. I believe the game is in the evening, isn't that so, Uncle GM?
Yes, it will be there. But I mean, the tickets are sold out. Others, you know, the touts were trying to sell some of them at £4,000. So that's how desperate sometimes people want to get to the games. And just be there with the atmosphere.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, I announced earlier that today we are going to Northern Zambia, and we are privileged and honored to have, I think I can confidently say, a good friend and a good man who loves Zambia. Brother Lee Alba is right now in the beautiful city, or I can say city of Kasama. Brother Lee, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing, sir?
Hello?
How are you doing?
We're doing well. I'm here with my friend. We're in Mbala.
Good, good.
And we're together with Darius Kasama.
Excellent,
and
excellent.
One of the people who's head of our...
Absolutely. Well, it's good to talk to somebody from Zambia away from Roger's favorite city. Brother Lee is the director of ministry at NESTIM. Let me begin by asking you, could you please tell us about NESTIM and how you found yourself in Northern Zambia?
Okay, well, NESTIM is the development of many, many years. I've worked in Zambia. We actually came in the 1970s as missionaries to Mbala, and worked there in the 70s and 80s. And then after that time, I went back to the States, where I had worked as a builder. I've worked as a builder and worked with our churches there as well. And then we continued over the years to develop relationships with the churches of Zambia, especially in the north, ultimately finding the... a joint program that we did together with the churches of Mbala, and began helped them begin the Mbala Christian Leadership Training Center in the year 2000. So we're now in the 11th year of the training center, doing various projects, including ministry programs and life skills programs in health, computer, and carpentry. And now we're venturing into the area of health with the coming of Mapala 1.
Absolutely. We're going to get to Mapala 1 in a moment here, Brother Lee. So what does NEFTIM stand for?
Well, it stands for, N, the N is nationals, the E is evangelism, the S is support, and the T is team. So it's a project we believe in working with the national churches for the evangelism and supportive ministry programs as a team, not just telling them what to do or whatever, but we share things, we grow together, we experiment, we try things for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we try and work together as a team. So that's the meaning of NEST Team International, and then it's just become that over the years. I've developed that beginning in 1985, it began.
Absolutely. Those who are listening to us and would like to see more details about what Brother Lee and the organization are doing in Northern Zambia, you can go to nestteam.org. That's the website, nestteam.org, and you'll be able to understand some of the things. Brother Lee, I read a phrase on your website. It says, a safari for faith and healing. Would you like to discuss that with us? That's an interesting one.
Yes, well, that's been something that we've been working on for about 3 years together with Dr. Chipeta, who's the at UTH Hospital in Lusaka. And Dr. Chipeta has helped to develop that program together with the Bulungu District Health and the Mbala Health people. And the purpose is, you know, on a safari for faith and healing, the way that we developed that is that we believe that there's two things, you know. One is the healing of the body. The other one is the healing of the spirit and the soul. So we're on a journey that we desire to see God heal not just the body, but the spirit of man. And together, those things can change and transform people and nations and the world. We believe that. So that process began with Dr. Chipeta and our team here in Zambia, as we determined that we needed to help and address many of the things that have come about through AIDS and malaria, and that the filling of the ambulance, then Mapala 1 was the part of that program to reach out into the communities and the villages.
Absolutely. Let's talk about Mbala Christian Leadership Training Center, Brother Lee. NEFTIM, in partnership with the communities that are there, could you just discuss with us how Mbala Christian Leadership Training Center came to be?
Okay. Well, let me ask. I have my brother, the principal from the training center here, Darius Chakwamba. I'll let him talk a bit here and address how Mbala Christian Leadership Training Center came about and where it is today.
Okay.
Yeah, we began our program in 2001 after constructing the facility. And even before the construction of the facility, we had the overwhelming cooperation from the community, such that the churches from the villages, churches at the district, all churches come together to help in reducing the cost of constructing the Mbala Leadership Training Center. From there, we began the first involvement. We involved the pastors, we involved also tailors and the carpenters. Because of the effectiveness of our program, we began to receive a lot of support from the community, such that the organizations, people like World Vision, they began to associate with us. They would do the recruitment of the OVC, orphan and vulnerable children, and then we'll train them for 6 months and 9 months. And then World Vision will empower them with tools, if we are doing carpentry. They also empower them with sewing machines so that they can go and start their classes. When we look back from 2001 up to now, we have really helped a lot of people, vulnerable children and orphans, old women. I can see now that they are able to open their own classes and start with their family. They are right on the ministry. When we send them, I think most of them are very successful. They are planting churches, they are leading churches, they are all in the ministry, except for a few, but most of the people that we've trained, they are very active in the ministry. So we are composed of pastors from our church, Church of Christ. We've got the pastors from Baptist who are teaching here. We've got the pastors from Evangelical Church. So we are quite the inclusive organization, such that everyone feels very free to say that this is our institution. So we have received a lot of recognition from the government, we have received recognition from the churches, and everybody is sending people to come and train at our school. Even though our program is a bit low, it's not like a big university, but we give them very important skills to lead the church, to preach, and also to be a good leader, to be a good study. Servant leadership, that's what the focus is all about. Let me show, that's what I can say about the Leadership Training Center.
Okay. My principal, I didn't get your name.
My name is Darius Chakwamba.
Okay. Well, Darius, let me ask you this, furthering our discussion on Barak Christian Leadership Training. From the time you said you started in 2001 to date, I know, could you give us some idea of some figures about how many people have graduated and how they fit into the community when they graduate from Umbala Christian Leadership Training Center?
Okay, maybe I don't have the data. Yeah, we have about 800. We have trained about 800 who have passed through our training center here, both in all the sectors, the ministry, carpentry, and also tyranny, and desk computer.
Absolutely. That's exciting and interesting. You mentioned government and world vision. What role... Could you further explain what role they are playing in terms of getting involved and supporting this project?
Yeah, when I talk about the repeatable organization like World Vision, what they do is they saw what we're doing. They recognize our ministry in the communities. They began to identify needy children, orphans and vulnerable children. Then they'll bring them to us. We train them for 6 months or 9 months. And then later on, they will empower them with tools. They will give them sewing machines so that they can go and stand on their own. And then when I talk about the government, they have been quite inspiring in the sense that when we need the certification of anything, they are not reluctant to give us the certification because they know that we are empowering the community and they recognize what we're doing. And always they will come if they do anything that they want, maybe concerning vulnerable children or orphans, who sit down and maybe give them some advice on how to go about dealing with children in that particular field of skills. I remember talking to the commissioner, district commissioner from Bala. He said, we would like you to maybe expand your activities in the villages. And that's what we did. We had two satellite training centers, one at Kawinda, about 70 kilometers from Bala. We trained about 200 orphans in 1 year. Another group was stationed at Masamba, a village that is about 60 kilometers. We trained the orphans and vulnerable children in carpentry, and that was really quite encouraging for the government through the office of the district commissioner.
Absolutely. Brother Darius, before I go back to Brother Lee, one of the things I want you to sort of share with us is, I know when you're talking about in rural Zambia, the chiefs have got a lot of influence and say in a lot of things that go on. Share with us your relationships with the chiefs in the area and how they've responded to this.
Yeah, that's a very important question. What we do, we at one particular time invited some of the region chiefs to explain our vision, to explain what we intended to do. And they gave us a very good support. They said, go ahead. Every time that we get into a new area, what we do is that we will first of all present ourselves as a chief. For example, yesterday, I was with my team talking about HIV AIDS, a program that we are working together with the Minister of LC. We had to go to the chief to explain our intentions in his area. For example, we told him to say, we have come in your area, we want to encourage people to do male circumcision. We want also to do a program with the people here in different villages about the mother, prevention of HIV AIDS from mother to child. And then we also wanted to encourage the subject on the voluntary counseling and testing. The gentleman there, Chief Tinakila, made it specifically. He was very happy to say, okay, you can go ahead. These are some of the things that I've learned in different seminars. Now that you've come, you can go ahead. For sure, we visited about the 3 villages in his kingdom. And when we concluded our program, we went back to the chief to pay homage, and then he was very happy. He even gave us some gifts to say, you can take this thing because I'm not what you're doing.
Absolutely. We are talking to Brother Lee Alba, Director of Ministry at NESTIM, and Daria Sous, the Principal at Kimbala Christian Leadership Training Center. We'll take a commercial break here, and when we come back, we'll go further to discuss the work of an ambulance which was sent in the area called Mapalo 1. Let's take a commercial break. Okay, we seem to be having a technical problem here. All right. Let's go back to Brother Lee. Let me ask about Mapalo 1. Brother Lee, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
The last time we met in Las Vegas, you passed through there with an ambulance called Mapalo 1. Talk to us about that.
Well, that was interesting driving through Las Vegas with an ambulance. It's a Ford ambulance used in rural areas in the United States. And as we drove through Las Vegas, I realized on the side it says Kimbala Christian Leadership Training Center in Zambia with some Lungu writing on it that identified us as a bit different and strange. But the purpose was that we had a group of people here in Portland, Oregon, that were in Portland, Oregon, that put the ambulance together for the purpose of going to Zambia and then assisting with the outreaches to the villages, both in health and also in evangelism in rural areas. So it was a long route. I drove it. I met you there, and it was a great time to meet you in Las Vegas. Then I drove on to Houston, Texas, where it was put on a ship and went to Walvis Bay, Namibia. And I met it there about a month ago now and got it cleared. And I was met there also by Jeffrey Mwananchiku, who's the head of our village outreach program for the health. He met me in Walvis Bay, and we were chased by the police all the way through Namibia, but we arrived safely at the Zambian border, and it was an exciting thing. Right there at the border, the customs officer came out, and he looked at the vehicle, and I thought he was going to look through it and everything. Instead, he started looking at the the scripture that was written on the side of the ambulance. And he said, "That's my mother's tongue." That's the language I learned when I was young. And he didn't look anymore. He said, "Welcome to Zambia." And we've felt welcomed ever since. Everywhere we've gone, people keep saying, "Mapalo wen, Mapalo wen." And then even up here now, the police and everyone have just welcomed us with open arms because they know that we're doing something for Zambia that will have lasting impact for many people. Yeah. And the person that has headed it up here is Jeffrey Mwananchiku. He actually met me there in Wallace Bay. And halfway through Namibia, he had a call that his father had passed away. And we praise the Lord that he was able to get to the border and be able to reach home for the burial. But we were very sad for that to happen at that time. But he's here with us today as well.
So, Brother Lee, what is going on? What is the purpose of Mapalo One? How is it working in the community? I mean, what was the whole essence of getting that ambulance all the way from the United States to Mbala, northern Zambia?
Well, it seems a little bit strange to bring a vehicle that far, but the Mapalo One is actually equipped to stand independently. We could even use it as a mobile clinic if we needed to. Mm. And the initial purpose was a joint a grant that we received from the United States Embassy, which is being used for the Village Health Program that Darius spoke of briefly here a few moments ago. And that has allowed us to join with the Pulungu District Health and do some outreaches to the villages around Mbala. So the purpose is to bring a vehicle that can have a multi-purpose. It also is equipped with audio-visual equipment, so we can show films, we can do teaching, they can do a surgery inside this vehicle. It has oxygen and all these things. So if the health department determined they could use it for those things, they would use it. So it has a multi-purpose thing to heal not only the soul or the body of a person, but also to offer hope in difficult times and strength and healing for the soul as well.
Absolutely. I forgot to mention this to you, Brother Lee. We have Brother Grace Omansa here, I believe is one of the board of directors in the UK. Let me turn to him and ask him this question. Uncle GM, we have all this wonderful work and project going on in Mbala. I believe it covers the Mpulungu area. What do you think should be our role as Zambian people in getting involved in projects like this?
Thank you, Nathan. Well, our role really is one, to support these programs, and where specific projects are identified, like supporting orphans and vulnerable, I think we should dig deeper to support these in school and also in enterprise, so that that way we can help lift them out, you know, one or two steps out of the poverty. They need to be on the ladder to self-sufficiency. So those of us who are able to do that can be running around maybe one project working through the Mbala Christian Leadership Training. And I'm sure as they have gone to the villages, there are a number of challenges that are there. And I think maybe it's one question that I would like to ask Ishiku in terms of the program that they have undertaken, you know, the village health program. What challenges are they facing or are they seeing in there that could probably be assisted by, people, especially in the diaspora, if they rallied on one or two projects?
Can Mwananchiku respond to that, Brother Lee?
Yes.
I mean, what are the challenges that we see in implementing the program in the villages?
Okay. Yeah, after the project that we started, our outreach was started on the 17th this month, which is for the past 2 weeks. Now, we ended our project on Thursday this week. The challenges that we faced on our outreach was, one, the roads are not very okay. They are portal all the way, bumps all the way. The roads are not good, especially when we went to Musuro. Musuro is about 32 kilometers from Isoko village. So we had a problem of traveling, but we managed to reach the place, and we had our outreach. Because our outreach was concerned with HIV and AIDS. We had the three things that we had to sensitize the people there. One is mother to child HIV prevention. Then the other one was male circumcision. Then the final was voluntary counseling. Now, the challenges that we faced when we started in that village of Musuro was that of male circumcision. The people there could not overcome the idea of being circumcised because it became a new thing to them according to their culture, modern culture. But however, having explained to them with the team from health, Columbia, officers, the people and the headmen accepted the new culture of prevention. The other challenge was that of people were very much against the idea of going for voluntary and testing on their own. They thought going for voluntary counseling is something new to them, because most of them say that they are not sick, they are not HIV positive. But we managed through the team to convince some of them. In the end, they were convinced and they were happy that we can as well go for voluntary and counseling. The other challenges that we faced. Yes. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Pamanash. Go ahead.
The other challenge that we faced was when we went to each village, we were not friendly with the local villagers, because they thought probably they'd come we brought something new to them, because this is modern province. It's not like Northwest. I'm talking about the male circumcision. The other two, mother to child prevention, it was welcome, because this has been all over Zambia, and it has been sensitized all over Zambia, in more areas of Zambia. But the male circumcision is something else, especially to Northern Province. So that is the area where we face a lot of challenges in terms of outreach. However, the word of God also was preached to them, and they received it, because we had to give them the scripture in Genesis chapter 17, verse 24, where Abraham was circumcised when he was about 99 years. And when we opened the scriptures to them, most of the old people accepted that, well, it is Abraham was born, he was circumcised at the age of 99, he can also be circumcised. But otherwise, that was the main challenge that we faced.
Let me ask you this.
Hello?
Let me ask you this question. Your operations, Brother Lee shared with me that you cover a range from Mbala to Mpulungu. Now I understand we are talking to you from Kasama. You have the training school. Now you have Mapalo One, which has to cover a lot of distances. How do you meet your daily operational costs in terms of funding?
Okay, I think we'll go out there and reach other places. Like I was saying, we did not only do Mpulungu, but we went as far as Chinakila, which we went through Senga Hill. Reaching Senga Hill, then we had to go east to Chinakila village, which was about 68 kilometers from Kasama Mbala Road. Having Mapalo One, I think it will go a long way. We reach so many places because the vehicle itself is very suitable for new area. It's high, it can move places and places. The only challenges that we faced, as I told you before, was the roads which were not as good as we expected them to be. But otherwise, though the roads were bad, but Mapalo One managed to go through and reach the villages that we targeted to visit.
Okay. There are people listening to us right now, Bamwananshu, from different parts of the world. If they want to help or support what you're doing there, what should they do?
Well, this is Mr. Albot, but they can send their support through NEST team if they want for the training center, or if they have some linkage to different programs that I know there's a lot of people probably listening that have medical experience, things like this, or experience in evangelism and outreach. All of those things are needed, and you can contact NEST team if you'd like. NESTEAM.org, NESTEAM.org. You can see our website there. And although while I've been in Zambia, I haven't been updating it like I'd like to because our download speeds are very slow here in Mbala. But you can also donate through that, or you can mail. There's some mailing information there as well, and say that you would like to give towards the training center, and we'll put it towards the ministries here in Mbala.
That's interesting that you bring up Brother Lee. So you would also welcome people who would like to come there on what we may call short-term missions and bring their skills to the project. Is that right?
Well, I think that is going to come in its time. You know, especially if it's in the medical area, because we do have Mapalo One here now. We also have, you know, there's construction going on at Mapalo, what we call Mapalo now, and a lot of needs there for building materials and for putting things together. I think finances is the best way, but I also know that if people want to contact us about a short-term, I don't know. Personally, I feel short-term is a month or two, not a week, because in a week
okay. It's
more like a vacation, if you know what I mean. You come, you look around, you have an adventure. But
yes,
we need people who have a longer-term idea, maybe 30, you know, a month or 2 months that they can give, and then I think the teams could be using them in an effective way.
Mm. Before I let you go, gentlemen, let me just allow Uncle GM here to say a final word as we transition to conclude. Any further words, Uncle GM, from you, encouragement to the diaspora community or anything?
Yes, certainly in terms of the support, you know, for instance, there is an offer and supports program to the school. It's about $25 per month per child. So, you know, maybe one or two people can take up to support an orphan child go through school. That's a fairly simple and straightforward, you know, one. So that is one of the challenges that may have. Something that you have, you know, a definite, tangible goal towards. The other ones, those that would like to support various programs, are welcome when they go to the NESTIM website. See, but for now, a simple and straightforward challenge in terms of supporting some of these young, able in terms of academically able, but often, you know, at an early age because of HIV and AIDS, perhaps, etc. It is something that I think we can take up. So that really would be what I would like to say to us in the diaspora.
Thank you. Brother Lee, final word from you. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, gentlemen. Just give us your final word and anything you'd like to share with us.
Now, well, we're just thrilled to be able to talk to you today and to share what God is doing here in the Imbala area. And just ask people, you know, please pray. Pray, follow what's going on, that we can, that our team here that works very sacrificially, by the way, they work with very, very little. We're a very poor organization in many ways. So, but every penny is used for the kingdom and for healing people in body and soul. So we're just thankful for this time to be able to share with you. And be sure and send me an email if you want more information. My email address is there on the website as well. So we just want to thank you for sharing with us up here in Imbala right now.
Thank you, gentlemen, Brother Darius, Brother Mwananshiku, and Mr. Lee Alba there out in northern Zambia. We shall keep in touch with you and do as much as we can to try and sensitize the Zambian world or community about your work.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good afternoon. Well, we're talking to those gentlemen from Mumbala Christian Leadership Training Center. And if you'd like to find out more details about what's going on there, you can go to www.nestim.org. Nestim is nestim.org. And this program is sponsored by Paradigm Computers. You can check them out and be able to find what services they are able to offer. It's paradigmtalk.com. Those are our sponsors right there. Uncle GM, our reception, and I'm facing a challenge here because I'm actually blind. We had a power outage here, so I don't have access to the computer.
Internet.
So Roger is doing everything. I'm just talking. It's a little bit frustrating, but we can manage to do this. As we transition to go to Lusaka and talk to Mwansa from there about what is going on there, I think it's important, Uncle GM, that people try to understand where exactly is Mbala Christian Leadership Center located in that part of Zambia.
Well, first of all, Mbala is about 1,000 kilometers from Lusaka, the Great North Road. You go up to Mpika, then the Great North Road continues to Tinta, then you branch off going to Kasama. It's about 240 kilometers from Mpika to Kasama. And then from Kasama to Mbala, you're talking about another 200 kilometers. Now, in Mbala itself, we have, you know, what they call the little town center. The high, you know, the low density area, then you've got medium cost, and you've got what we'll generally call the township. And then
okay.
at the edge of the township, you've got the shanty compound called Maraundi. And at the edge of the township and Maraundi, that's where the Mbala Christian Leadership Training Center is. So that it's there really to serve the most vulnerable who are in the shanty, you know, the shanty compound. That's
okay.
where it is located.
Yeah, I just thought that we needed to get those clear details in case somebody is listening to us and they would like to go there and see what is happening. Thanks, Uncle GM. Well, we're transitioning here, as I earlier mentioned, that we'll be going to Lusaka now, Roger's favorite city, and talk to one of our colleagues, a contributor. Mwansaya Talangwa Gold is not a stranger to us, but there is a reason we are speaking to her from Lusaka, because of a special mission and project that she's on. Mwansa, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, thank you. How are you, Nelson?
Doing good. Vakaunda Varishan.
Yeah, it's another one.
Okay, Mwansa, you are in Lusaka. You started an organization called African Youth Social Entrepreneurs. Could you explain to us what this is about and what are your objectives?
Okay. So African Youth Social Entrepreneurs is basically what we're about is to enhance grassroots enterprises and develop grassroots entrepreneurship among the youth in the hopes that we'll be able to fight the unemployment and the underemployment among the youth in Zambia and around Africa. So that is basically our mission. It is to empower youth mentally, give them resources with mentors, help them find capital and everything that they can do to achieve to become more wealthy, unemployed, so that they themselves can be employers.
All right. That's a mammoth task right there, Mwansa. Empower youth and mentor youth, because anybody who follows what goes on in Zambia knows the unemployment trend is quite high. Could you give us further details on some of the things you are embarking on to mentor and to empower youth?
You know, right now what we're doing, nothing is really, we are youth helping youth. And since I've been in Lusaka, I've met hundreds and hundreds of youth. And most of them will sit on one basis. Like I said, we're grassroots enterprises. We're developing grassroots entrepreneurship. So we sit on one with them, listen to them, hear what plans they've got, and then we try to help them face it. They don't have a portfolio, so that's a big project, need a portfolio, and help them with somebody who can help them build a portfolio. And then there's some other people, all they need is just a few $100 to push up their projects. And where we can help, we help. As you know, we start our main program will kick off starting after this week, and then we're trying to build up a library for entrepreneurship because there are no resources. The resources for reading for entrepreneurs, even just the Zambian society, the youth, they don't read. So our immediate goal is to get a building a library where we put all the books on entrepreneurship, self-help, and computers that we should get our nation, especially the youth, to read beyond examinations.
Absolutely. Where is this library going to be located, and how is the funding?
Right now, we're still trying to meet with other people. Like, we're trying to see if the government could even give us a rundown building. Then we renovated. We have some people that have showed interest, some from Paris and some from California, that we're gonna they're gonna help us. They're going to help us fund, like, with all the books and all the computers. But we are hoping the Zambian government and the private sector will be able to help us with the building, and then we'll be able to pick it up from there.
Absolutely.
And this is just a step pilot program. We started in Lusaka, and then as we go on, maybe from the Copper Belt and other main districts around Zambia.
Absolutely. Before I ask you the next question, let me welcome Dr. Wilson. I know Dr. Wilson has been working with you very closely. Dr. Wilson, good morning.
Listening audience.
I was welcoming Dr. Wilson, and I said he's been working closely with you.
Yes.
Let me ask you this next question once. Zambia has got 9 provinces, and most of it is, of course, comprises the youth. What is your strategy to spread out into all the provinces?
Nothing. What we're doing, like right now, we have youths, like we did have some youths that came in from Dola and Chitwe. So since we're basically very grassroots, so what we're our structure is that from each man, for instance, from Dola, Chitwe, we have an ambassador in Dola, and then Chitwe and Wanshi, so that those will be our main contact, and then from there we kind of get our program so that we just don't do this in Lusaka. We don't want just to be centralized. We want to be decentralized. So we have ambassadors from different places, just like we have ambassadors right now in Kenya. So, and from there, we do on a strategic level here, and then we meet from time to time with ambassadors and help with whatever we can help. And then from there, we pick it up. Mostly right now we are in the process of finishing the mode of what we're doing. But from the Copper Belt, we already have our ambassadors already back in the second, and we're sitting down strategizing on how we're going to go so that we reach every youth as much as we can.
Absolutely. You're listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. We're talking to Mwansa God, who is the African Youth Social Entrepreneur, CEO and founder. Mwansa, so how do these ambassadors operate in their various towns or cities, wherever they are? What are their duties and responsibilities?
You know, their duties and responsibilities is mostly first to start off is to have the presence in that particular extent. I'll give you an example. We've got a young man at the Copper Belt. His name is Manfred. So Manfred speaking, like, so right, we'll be going to the Copper Belt to do a conference after we finish here. He organizes other people, and then of course we'll be having membership of the people, various programs that we'll be doing and various helping capacities that we'll be doing. So instead of everybody from the Copper Belt trying to come to Lusaka, we'll have offices right there in Chitwe where they can meet with the ambassador, talk to them one-on-one. Because us, it's very important that we meet these people one-on-one, we get to know them, and then we can see how we can help each other. Like I said, it's youth helping youth, because they are bringing to the table a lot of things, so I will bring to the table a lot of things. So we're trying to see how we can help each other. So basically, that's the most, that is one of the functions of the ambassadors. And also just to be able to identify the youth. You know, because they live in these provinces, they live in these districts, so they know who their youth are, who I hope they have dreams, but they don't know where to turn to. Let's just listen, there is this group, this is what we can do, we can help this, we can help you link up with people that can be able to help. That's the responsibility in a nutshell for the ambassadors.
Absolutely. Okay, let's zero in on the main reason and purpose why you are in Lusaka right now. Of course, the whole world knows that the AGOA Forum is being hosted by Zambia. What role and participation is African youth social entrepreneurs playing in that forum?
The African youth social entrepreneur actually just doing a kickoff conference on Saturday, June the 4th, where it is a conference, we're calling it the Change We Seek, with a sub-theme called Capital and Not Aid. Because while the AGOA Forum is coming and a lot of things are going, right now I'm at the Mdungishi conference. I'll actually be speaking after I finish I'm speaking at an entrepreneur forum. What we want is to see, as you know, their goal forum is to enhance trade. So we're saying as youth, we've got to enhance trade. There's no way we enhance trade without empowering the best. So as our goal comes to Zambia, there's a lot of preparation going on. Everybody, everywhere you can in Zambia is our goal. And what is really our goal? How much, how are the individuals going to be enhanced and be competitive? So we've been really effective to do that. So we're trying as youth to really get, we want to enhance trade. That says we need to be empowered here at home if we're going to be even competitive around Africa, later around the United States. So that's what we're trying to do. And yesterday, I was speaking at Intercontinental Hotel. They had the Indaba, the Tonga tradition. We had a lot of people there. Deputy Ambassador to the U.S., Suzanne from the U.S. was here, the British Ambassador, and a lot of people. And I thought I had a time to speak to them. And we're starting to get a lot of support. We had a lot of love. We've been meeting with a lot of people starting from tomorrow. That's why my voice is gone. I've been in meetings.
Okay. Good. Let's quickly zero in as we wind up here. We'll catch up with you again next week. What is happening next Saturday on the 4th? Could you just give us more details on that? And those that would like to participate who are in Lusaka who may be hearing us.
So next week, Saturday on the 4th, we'll be having a youth conference, like I said, African Youth Social Entrepreneurs, a.k.a. AGOA Youth. It's on June 4th at Indigo House, starting from 8 to 10, and where the team is where the change is sick. We're having high-profile speakers from the U.S. and Belgium and Tanzania, and we're having some youth coming in from Togo and Kenya and all the Zambian youth. We have a lot of whispers, a lot of youth are coming in. So the purpose of this conference, Nathan, is it's starting to provoke the power of the youth to take control of their lives and to be empowered mentally and to chance to start changing the mentality of Zambian youth, which is a lot of work that needs to be done. So basically introducing ourselves, them to us and us to them. And we'll have a lot of government officials that will be there that will be supporting us because we can't do this ourselves. We need both the private sector, the civil society, and the government to help us. And so far we have very good people helping us, like the FBM, Kim Somoa, and now a number of embassies, and South African embassy too. So we are there to say, this is what we can do, but we need your help. We have the needs that we need to tackle what we should do, and then the key players to see how we can help empower the youth of Zambia and more importantly change the mindset from a dependent mindset to independent. So that's what basically this starting conference is all about.
Absolutely. I like that last phrase you just said, from a dependent to independent mindset. Very quickly, in a few seconds, Mwansa, you are just about to step up on the platform and address a conference here. What are you talking about?
Here at the Milungushi Conference is a business forum on entrepreneurship with Chiman Makanuma, Maya Kipimo, and many of them. So I'm just here talking about entrepreneurship and the importance of entrepreneurship and just encourage the youth so we can do this ourselves.
Absolutely. All the best. We'll try to catch up with you next week.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. All right. That was Mwansa Kalangwa Goat. She's not a stranger to this forum. She's part of that. And she's right now in Lusaka, as you heard her speak. She's the CEO of African Youth Social Entrepreneurs. Elizabeth, good morning. Yareka. Okay. Uncle GM.
Yes, I'm here.
That's, unfortunately, I won't be able to be with you on that. One thought that I have, Mwansa and Dr. Patrick, you know, as we have been talking about, you know, going around the districts, one of the things that I'm really keen on is aquaculture, you know, fish farming. And I would like to connect Mwansa to what Eddie Shuko Mwansa, the mother, came to the Las Vegas, USA, Africa Business Convention. That's where I made the link. She is one of the young, very fired up on fish farming. So I would like to connect to that, because this is an area where I see youth entrepreneurship really can thrive.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for that information, Uncle GM, and we appreciate your contribution and staying with us.
Can you send me Mwansa's contact details? If you can email, I'll get in touch and link her up with her. She can even go and visit, because they are in Lusaka in Silveres. They can go and visit
absolutely.
What they're doing. Yeah.
Absolutely, Uncle GM. And you see, Dr. Patrick, that's why I love this forum, because out of discussions like this come up things like what Uncle GM has done right now.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This is what we are talking about, and we appreciate that, Uncle GM, and I'll definitely be sending you Mwansa's phone number and email address for you to get in touch with her. By Elizabeth. Okay. Yareka.
Good morning, Nathan, and everybody.
I know people on the East Coast, you are trying to keep your eyes open. We appreciate the sacrifice.
Yeah, it's quite early here.
I know, I understand. After when we are done, you go back to bed. You heard Mwansa's speech, and you heard her talk about empowering and mentorship with the youth. How do you think we can get involved and support her as a diaspora?
I think, a few days ago I attended Africa Day at the South African Embassy, and what I noticed is how the older people, the elders, are supporting the youth, and they're putting them out there. They're pushing them and just giving them that love. I think that's the most important thing, because the youth they're very energized, and you know, you just give them a little bit of support, you'd be amazed at how they'll turn that support around. And so I think all of us in the diaspora can play that role. It doesn't always take money; it just takes a phone call to say, you know, what you're doing is great, and you know, just keep whatever you're doing, and I'm sure after a while they'll get all the necessary financial support, and any other areas they're trying to cover will be obviously supported in so many other ways by the various government that they're, I mean, various organizations that they're meeting. So, yeah, so just love and support, you know, checking up on them to see what they're doing, to me, is vital.
Absolutely. I mean, just like the way Uncle GM has come out by coming up with that idea of connecting up to somebody who's doing something that the youths can. We are getting ready here to go to a wonderful city of Chingola. We'll be talking to the town clerk of Chingola. Yareka, that's your village, Chingola, isn't it?
I was born and raised in Chingola, so I'm excited about Chingola today.
Today we are going
December.
To Yareka's village. Oh,
yeah.
By the way,
listen, I have
my
to take leave. I'll catch up with you guys, you know, later.
Okay, Uncle GM, thanks for taking the time. Always a pleasure to have you.
No problem, pleasure. Thank you. All the best.
All right. Dr. Patrick, I was saying we are getting ready to go to Yareka's village here.
I heard that.
Yeah. By the way, that's where my wife
comes
from as well.
And the rooms, and we're putting up the flowers. Everything is going to be wonderful.
Absolutely. That's my favorite place in Zambia.
Absolutely. That's where my wife comes from, actually.
Oh, she's my sister, you see? Same village.
So I went hunting in your village, Yareka. Yeah, all the people from Chingola are beautiful and you know, are wonderful.
That's right.
Yeah,
we're
getting ready to go to Chingola, like I said here. Dr. Patrick Mwansa's got a mammoth task right there. How can we get involved and support her?
Well, the first thing and the most important thing is what Eureka suggested, that we're there morally and spiritually and always giving her encouragement to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a lot of times, and Wanda has experienced it in the past, and she'll experience it in the future, where it becomes very frustrating. And at that time, it's good to hear encouragement, because she is doing an outstanding job, so all of us encourage her. I also, secondly, I believe it's Nkusi District that had stated that they would have a youth ambassador get engaged in what we're doing as well as what Mwanza's doing. And I think that's
yes.
a good idea or a good thought, that all of the districts that we are engaging with is to identify a youth ambassador, in which that youth ambassador could be intimately engaged in all that we're doing. And this way we would be helping the districts and also helping the youth movement and collectively helping Zambia.
Absolutely. Something interesting that she told me is that she's actually been selected or appointed as a tourism ambassador, I think, for the U.S. And I think that's a great honor we all need to be proud of and support and encourage her.
Oh, outstanding.
Yeah, so that's she's been very busy at times, a little bit stressed because she has to do a lot of running up and down. Our organization is just getting started, and I guess her team is learning the ropes and how to get things set up and everything. But Mwansa, even as probably you are standing on the podium right now at the Great Mulungushi International Center addressing that entrepreneurship symposium, we are proud of you. And
yes.
we will do everything to support you and everything else. And that's what is going to. I'm trying to get by Elizabeth's attention. By Elizabeth. Okay. Is this Mrs. Handa or Mr. Handa?
Mr. Handa.
Mr. Handa, it's been a long time.
Yeah. I think
Did you travel?
Not really. I'm usually working Saturdays, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You heard the things we've talked about. You heard the discussion with the gentleman in Northern Province, did you?
Yeah, I did, and I'm very aware of that program. Actually, that is my church.
Oh, Church of Christ?
Yeah. Mbara Church of Christ and Kasama Church of Christ were sister churches, so I know how that program started.
Oh, excellent. So are you involved? How are you involved with that? Or what can you tell us about that?
Well, I have been so much in touch with those people for some time, but I know Shakwambwa very well. And I know Lee Harper as our missionary for Northern Province. So I've been following from time to time how they have been doing with their training center over there.
Absolutely. That's good news. That's good news. Those who are joining us, probably you just tuned in and you'd like to support the Mbala Christian Leadership Training Center, you can go to the website nestim.org, nestem.org, and you can make your financial contribution. Those are some of the projects we're supposed to be encouraging which are faith-based or holistic, and see how we can support and contribute towards whatever is going on out there in Zambia. And we trust that missionaries have done a lot of contributions towards the nation of Zambia, and we should be supporting. Those are some of the things that are going on in the district, and we are hoping and planning and desire to be part of. I met Mr. Lee Bahanda when we went to Las Vegas. Did you get to meet him?
No, I missed him. I didn't see him.
Yeah, he came through Las Vegas with that ambulance. They are calling Mapalo One. And my good friend McDonald the Longwa in Atlanta, and I interviewed him on McDonald's show. You can listen to that interview on McDonaldShowIbelieve.com. If you just Google McDonald's show, it will come up. A lot of people have been in touch with me and said they listened to our interview with Mr. Lee Albert, and it's quite interesting. And so we talked to him, and that's how I got to meet him. And hence, he's coming on the show today. I told him, I said, look, when you reach Zambia, let me know so that we can talk about what you're doing. It's quite encouraging and everything else. Yarek, I don't know what's happening in Chingola. We are still waiting to connect to Chingola here. Roger is trying to do his best. And those of you that are listening to us, we are thankful to our sponsors, Paradigm Talk. .com. You can go to the website and see what they're offering in terms of computer services and phone services. And we are transitioning. Paradigm Talk, our sponsors, they take care of our phone expenses and everything else. Okay. Chingola is in a meeting, and I don't know what we're going to do. Roger, how do you want us to do this? Roger, can you hear me? All right. He's telling me that the Chingola town clerk is in a meeting. We need to transition here and see what we are going to do. Roger.
Roger, can you hear me?
Nathan, while we're waiting for Roger to get back to us, perhaps maybe we can give the listening audience an update on the one-pagers?
Yes, I think that would be a good idea. Let me hand it over to Yareka to give some sort of a report, an update on where we are, so that we can see where we are. Yareka, please pick it up.
Yes, as we mentioned, in the past few weeks, we've been working on promoting the district. So all this information that we collect in our discussions, we turn around and put it in a one-page promotional piece. And we try to highlight some of the key investment opportunities in each of those districts that we've discussed. And we also try to highlight areas of improvement or areas where we feel the government can step in and do something, maybe like the road construction and also education and health. So far we have, we're more or less close to we should be printing within a week some of those one pages so that we can circulate them at the AGOA conference. And we are focusing on the ones that we've already spoken to, which is so far we are on the 8th district. So it's almost one in each province. And we should be able to share some of those one pages as soon as we finalize them. And the plan is to involve the diaspora in circulating the one pages to attract investment to each of the districts. And then we're also putting those one pages in some kind of a website format where anyone can go to the website and look at some of the various activities in the districts. And we're encouraging sponsors if anyone wants to sponsor this project, any amount will be helpful because we need to print as many flyers and brochures as possible because we want to circulate them at the embassies, we want to circulate them in Zambia. So if you want to sponsor a district, please go to the blog website and you can put in your donation there.
Yareka, could you give that website again about the districts and then just talk about a little bit more why we are really doing this, the significance and importance of us doing what we are doing.
Well, what's important to see here is how everybody is coming together. It's not one person. It's not one organization. We're all from various organizations. Everybody is putting in individual time. It's a lot of time. And we feel that it's for a good cause. It's to help our people back home. And how we're doing this is as a collaboration, we feel in numbers you can make a change. In numbers, you can appeal to people to say, look, this is what we are doing as Zambians in the diaspora. We are trying to help our districts. We're trying to help our people in various ways. So we will come up with a good model that everyone will be able to share with everyone on exactly how you can help. So for the time being, we've mentioned how we're promoting the districts through the one pages. So it's step by step. Everything is in stages. And but on the large scale, we want to drive as much investment to the district. So if for example, one of the districts says we need, you know, to repair our roads. If somebody out there in the diaspora knows an investor that is willing to go on the ground and help us with road construction, it's through the same initiative that you can bring those ideas, you can bring all those investors to the table. And again, because it's a collaborative effort, I think they are more willing to talk to you when you're with a group of people. So join us, you know, just support what we're doing. It's not one person's thing. It's all of us. We all need to get involved.
Absolutely. One interesting point that we need to raise here is that we've developed a website because people, believe it or not, no single district in Lusaka has got a website. We stand to be corrected. I don't know whether Lusaka does or Ndola does, but did we find any website for Lusaka, Yareka?
Well, that's interesting to know because if you come to, for example, last week we spoke to Siavonga, and every time we talk to a district, I go online, I try to see as much information as I can about that district, and there's hardly any in the rural district. And when I looked last week, Siavonga had quite a bit of information, and I was actually impressed that I could find at least three websites that had great information. But if you look at the other places, it's almost impossible to find anything unless you go to at least 5-6 different websites. You take a piece here, take a piece there. So that's why we're trying to have a centralized place for each district so that if anyone Googles Kasempa, they immediately it pops up. Kasempa district is there. Some of the basic information is there. Even if you go to Wikipedia, most of their pages are blank. Nobody has put information there. They've come up, maybe they've set it up, but nothing is there. So eventually we'll be asking people to go onto the Wikipedia pages and see if they can update those pages. We can do that through the one pages. We can link the websites that we're creating for the districts, but it will be helpful to have as many people as possible just put in that input. It's really important. Yeah,
it is. Yeah, Reka, what you are saying is this is the point. Everybody, this is the point, okay? You can't go to a specific or particular website which says kasama.org. You see the point I'm trying to make here, Yareka? You have rightly put it to say for you to get information about Siavonga, you have to go to different places, okay? When you Google Siavonga, something came up on Wikipedia, some tourism, something and something like that. So that's why we have come up with this project to say, look, what we need to do here, if somebody is looking at Zambia to say, where can I go and get
for example, Dr. Patrick, what we learned about Mpulungu, some, I'm looking for a place in Africa to get some exotic fish. Then the gentleman in Mpulungu told us that in Lake Tanganyika, there is some very wonderful, unique type of fish that you can find there. So if I go to a website, which is in Mpulungu, what's the name of this website we've developed, Yareka, again?
Oh, well, it's not published yet. It's still in construction.
It's still underworking. Okay.
Yes. So right. we should announce next week.
We should announce next week. This website we're developing is going to have all the districts there. You're going to click on Mpulungu. Maybe Mr. Handa, you want to sponsor something about Choma or Macha. We can put it there so that it's a one-stop shop. Is that what the educated people say? So that's basically what we are working on and all these things. Dr. Patrick, the situation here is that we can't get our gentleman from Chingola, so we just have to, I think we can go ahead with this point you have raised about us sort of giving an update of what we have done so far and just inform the listening audience about what is going on.
Yes. I would like to add to what's been said, which is another very important point here, is that what we're doing is we are supporting the districts because it's the district and the communities as well as the diaspora is that's taking the lead. What we're doing is we're suggesting, and then the community and the diaspora is coming back to us saying, well, let's do this, let's suggest this. Eureka mentioned the road construction. That came out of from Mkusi. They said, this is what we want. We want you to look at that. So these are interchangeable and engagements. We are definitely not the lead in this project. The diaspora and the community districts are the lead. We are just supportive and providing suggestions on how and which way to go. Another important factor that I would like to piggyback on is the one pagers. The one pagers are in short, they are business plans, because note the difference in what we're attempting to do here. A lot of the investment proposals or projects, and you've heard this, they said they are saying Africa open for business. Or Tanzania open for business, come invest. What we're doing is we're stating Zambia is opening for business. And it's very, very acute and particular in the difference between the two. If you say open for business, that means you have all the structures in place, all the business plans in place, everything in place for an investor to come in and say, well, here is my money. Now, the investor will not say, here is my money, unless they can see that they're going to get a return. So they're looking for a business plan. And many times in the past, when an investor, a potential investor, traveled to a country, it could be a country in Africa, a country in Europe, a country in Asia, whenever they come with their money, they want to see how they're going to get their return. And if they don't have or they don't see a business plan, then they're going to say, well, maybe I'm not going to invest as much. Maybe I can go somewhere else. So the one-pagers are the business plan. They're giving you an idea what are the opportunities you can engage or you can invest in. And followed behind that, we're saying opening because we are at the same time preparing the potential business site and developing their business plans. And one start is that one pager. Robert mentioned before our broker, our investment broker advisor, he mentioned a point in which he stated that in order to invest, the investor needs to see a business plan. And that's what we're working on. We're working on the one-pagers, and from the one-pagers, we're going to take the next step so that when investors do come or sponsors do come, they will know exactly what they're investing in and what type of return they're going to get. And if they're not going to get a return, they're investing in a project that they know is going to be beneficial to Zambia in the future, as well as Africa as a whole. So this is the concept that we're driving, and we're always welcoming input and comments from the diaspora on how to improve the process. One more point is Uncle Jim mentioned aquaculture and collaborating aquaculture. Well, there are particular standards that's required for aquaculture. And if we're going to expand agriculture business and training throughout to the point of not only selling it within country, but selling it inter-country and then selling it internationally, it would behoove all of us to begin to merge in the standards required of agriculture development. And it'd be a wonderful thing to train the youth in these particulars, in these interests, in these intricacies of developing. Again, it's going back to opening for business. Opening is preparing for that point when we can say Zambia is open for business. And we can do this parallel. We're developing opening for business, and at the same time we're getting into a position to say open for business. I know that was the last point, but there's one more. It just came to me. Going back to Mukusi, they were talking. They asked that they're keenly interested in road reconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
We suggested that we could do that. We can bring investors and we can partner with road reconstruction. But we also asked, would Mukusi welcome the idea of a partnering in road construction with the other districts? Because every district that we've covered requires some type of road reconstruction. And what that does is it opens up an entrepreneurial avenue for bringing goods from one district to another district, selling goods, exchanging goods, and then it zeroes in on the businesses that are in the districts right now, the businesses that are the international hotels, the international companies, because what happens is once you see that one pager, I guarantee you those businesses will want to have their logos on those one pagers. They want to engage and invest in the development of the districts that they are doing business with. So it's combining and it's folding all of the activities together and rolling it into one movement of entrepreneurship. And again, it's important that we continue to engage the diaspora as well as engage the community, because this what we're doing will not work unless we're getting encouragement from the diaspora as well as from the community. We want the same thing that we're going to give Wanza. We want a joint encouragement and participation in moving these projects along.
Absolutely. Well said, Dr. Patrick, right there. We'll continue our discussion. This is Business Forum on Zambia Block Talk Radio. We were supposed to connect to Chingola and speak to the town clerk there, but apparently there's been a conflict of schedules on his part. But what we think we need to do here is we're simply giving an update on some of the things we have done and covered and see how you can get involved, those of you listening to us and who have called in. And just to let you know that the purpose of this, like Dr. Patrick has said, is not for one group of people or person to take credit, but we're trying to promote the district of Zambia and for you to hear what is going on. Before I go to my friend in Canada, Roger, to sort of zero in a lot of information that has come out in our discussion. Let me just make a few announcements here, courtesy of our sponsor Paradigm Talk, who are sponsoring all the expenses and are connecting of our guests on the show. I also just wanted to mention here that beginning June, I'm going to start a series I'm calling Zambia Votes 2011, and I'll just be featuring a few people that will be discussing a few things in relation to us getting ready for our elections in Zambia. And our first guest next week will be this is Professor Henry Kiambalesa. I believe most of us who read Lusaka Times know Professor Kiambalesa. He does a lot of writing. And then on 11th June, I'm going to have Kenneth Opanji Kaunda to talk about the People's Pact, okay? So that's what will be happening in June, and probably will continue. My good friend, Pastor Mwaka, will be hosting their third anniversary celebration, I believe, at International House of Praise. And they'll be having Pastor Freedom Zumara from Zambia on the 9th, 10th, and 11th. I think this is what it's going to be. When I find the information, I'll give it accurately. Roger, when we have spoken to the district, one of the things that comes up, this is a human thing. Whether you live in Europe, in America, Dr. Patrick will bear witness with us. Most of us don't travel a lot when we are in our countries. Okay, I've never been to Northern Province, but I've been to other parts of Zambia. So in us talking to the district leadership, what would you say how much information has come out, my friend, and the things that we have learned?
Oh, quite a lot of information. True, like you have rightly pointed out, even when you are passing through Kaluroshi, Kitwe, or those who have been to Chiluvi, you never even know, first and foremost, the number of people who live in this district. And it's been amazing to hear some of the smallest districts in Zambia. Oh, there are 97,000 in Mplungu. There is 300,000 in Lundazi. That has been amazing. I thought all the numbers, all the people living in Lusaka, but I've just found out Zambia has more people than just those who live in Lusaka. There I go again.
Absolutely. So like Dr. Patrick is saying, Roger, Zambia opening up for business. I mean, a population of 300,000 people,
yes,
that's a good market right there. And with the, what our good friend was just talking to Mwanza, with the Africa Youth Social Entrepreneurs, we are partnering with the, help me with the correct name here, Yareka, Zambia Chambers of Small, what, how is that said? Zambia Chambers, Small and Medium Business Association. Is that the organization? I hope I
yes.
said that right.
Yeah. And Nathan, just to add on to your point, on numbers, like I've said, Okotoks, where I live, is a small town of about 20,000 people. And out of 20,000, a population of 20,000, they have more than 10 banks within that small town. So 300, if we put those people back to work in some fashion, back to work, 90,000 people back to work, we are talking about cities and cities and cities well developed.
Absolutely. When one has projects, and them trying to mobilize and empower the youth, like she said, this thing, when it gets into motion, Yareka, I think these districts are going to have problems with having one banking institution existing in them. Yareka? Okay. So what
I was on mute. Hello?
Okay, I know.
Yes.
Did you hear what I said? I agree with you.
Yes, I agree with you. And it's the same thing that you mentioned earlier, that information that we're getting from the districts is alarming. And, of course, like we learned from Chiluvi Island, they don't even have a bank at all. And they have to go to another district to to use their financial services there. So I do anticipate that, you know, they may have a problem, you know, once the youth are able to establish themselves. And this is the reason why we are getting involved at, you know, with the district, so that they see their problems. They, at least they can foresee those problems and try and start working and factoring in the youth, the women, entrepreneurs who are also coming up. Because, again, it's not just the youth that are left behind. Even the women entrepreneurs are left behind. And from what we've learned, there's more than the women contribute at least 40% to the economy of Zambia. And they only have only 10% have access to finance. So that's a problem. So if they factor in the women who are just keeping money in their houses, they factor in the youth that are going to be coming up with projects that will be, you know, sustainable, then the district, the banks, the government, everybody has to really plan ahead, way ahead of time, so that they cater for all these different groups that are coming up.
Absolutely, absolutely. Dr. Patrick, what's the significance or importance of these one-pagers having this statistical information in terms of for investment purposes?
The importance is one, there are three important facts that the one-pagers have. The first is information. The second is information. The third is information. If no one...
Medicare.
Yes. And Eureka pointed out earlier with respect to going on to Wikipedia. I would ask everyone to see how much information they can find for the Chingola district. Very, very little information. So once you get the information out, then individuals will look and now know the potential and the possibilities. We talked about banks. Banks are competitive, and also banks, as everyone know, is in it to make money. What will happen once the one pages go out and people begin to talk about it, and then the circulation begins to happen, and the most powerful conveyor of information is and are the women. And once the women get a hold of this and they begin to circulate it, all of a sudden there's going to be many banks thinking and considering and asking, how about us opening up a branch in your district? Because they will see where the money is going. You know that old saying, follow the money? Well, they will see that money is coming in. And the districts and the district councils have to be prepared to be selective. For example, if you have three banks wanting to open up a branch in the district, then you ask the branch, what are you giving us as opposed to us going to another branch or another bank? So now the community will be in the driver's seat. The district will be in the driver's seat. So banks will pop up as soon as banks see money going into the districts. So that will be covered, and that will be addressed once we as a community and the diaspora, and once we as a community in the districts begin circulating those pages. The banks will get it, and the banks will be coming.
I can see Eureka jumping when you talk about the women.
Yes. And Eureka continuously keep me on point, because it's very important. None of this is going to work without the women.
That's right.
We men are good talkers.
Yeah.
But the women are the doers. And they push us along. So, I mean, we can talk a good presentation, but it's the women that's going to say, okay, now we're going to do it, and this is how we're going to do it. So Eureka keeps us on point.
Coming up in 20 minutes is Market Roundups with Robert Sichinga, and then we'll go to Mukushi. Is that Mukushi, Roger? We're talking to the chief medical officer there on Health What, just to get a picture, the perspective of what is going on. We're going to zero into Mukushi again from the health point of view and see what is going on over there. Roger, when we talked to Mpulungu, something that I meant Chiruvi Island. In spite of all the fishing that goes on and everything else, I think if I'm correct, Yareka, he said they have to go to Samsha for banking.
I think
something
it's
like
Samsha and
Chiruvi.
Yes, they go to Samsha, yes. One of those.
There's two districts. They go to Samsia for banking, and yet I think he gave us some very good statistical figures there. What is going on with the fishing and the water transportation. Roger, people handling a lot of cash on a daily basis, so to speak, have to drive that long distance for banking services. What's the matter with that picture?
Well, everything is wrong. Again, like you have seen the new banking systems, they are not even that complicated. Now banks can be found in the supermarkets. Banks can be found in small shops. So
that's
we are
right.
Not even talking about very complicated systems, people picking up structures. All we need, as Dr. Wilson has said, these one pagers will become very, very critical in us saving the district. Here is the district. Please go to Chiruvi. There is a lot of money. By the way, you don't even need to build a new structure. Just find an old structure, open your bank in there, home and dry, two people working, you are done. So I agree. One pagers are going to be very, very, very critical in promoting the district so we can call... the banking systems, again, like Robert has been saying, we may not even call full bank mechanism, so to say, but it will only be on a micro-lending basis. We can start from there. And then from there, we can see how that goes. Then the banks themselves may be attracted to that kind of money flowing, passing around. But I agree with you. Moving in a boat, I was imagining moving in a boat with a sack full of money, and then the boat comes down with the whole money is gone. So that was good. Yeah.
Because you know what's going to happen, Roger? Instead of somebody wanting to save you, they'll be going for your sack of money.
you know, let me, I want to...
So that is an hazard right there.
Could I just say something about the health program that's being conducted?
Yes, Dr. Patrick.
One of the board members that works with Mwanza in the youth movement, her name is Corrine Shawa Durant, and Corrine also has a youth program that's developing in collaboration with Mwanza. Her program, and Corrine and Mwanza will talk about this at some later date, but her program includes mobile health units. So what I'm trying to do is identify a mobile health organization that can provide mobile health units so that these units can circulate within the districts and provide pap smears and other tests for the young ladies as well as the young men, youth in general. So more about that to come. And there's that synergism that's happening in which we're talking about. So thank you for giving
Absolutely.
Me just the time to mention that.
One interesting idea that, Roger, you have brought up, you know, we don't have this idea, I don't know, is trying to be corrected, where you have a bank operating inside the supermarket, like you have all those
banks that are in Walmart and all these big. The only time I saw that is at the Lusaka International Airport. Finance Bank had an office or an outlet in the customs office there when you go to clear your stuff and everything else. I think that's a new phenomenon we need to introduce or share with our colleagues out there, Iareka, about, you know, they can go and set up in a bank in ShopRite. ShopRite seems to be going everywhere.
That's correct. You also recall when we talked to Siavonga, one of the projects that they would like is they said they would like to introduce a shopping mall.
Yes.
And
right.
That would be ideal where you can engage the banks or the branches in these shopping malls. But at present, maybe we can expand that to have shopping mall development at a small level to expand to a larger level in all the districts.
I think that would be a concept that we need to run with seriously, Roger. I mean, setting up a bank in a shopping mall. Because probably the thinking is that, they are looking at the investment of putting up a new place and stuff like that. They can just have a small little corner inside a shopping mall, and people will be going there in places like Chirubi and stuff like that. I think we need to go that route, Roger, Iareka. We need to go that route.
Absolutely, and I think this is the purpose
listen,
of involving.
Over here in Canada, even the post office in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we have
yep.
Walmart, we have Staples, we have Sobeys. These are some of them are stationery shops, but there are post offices in there. That's what they have done in Canada. So you don't need to go to the post office to go and line up in that big line. Just go to Walmart. There is a post office inside. And you go to Sobeys, another superstore. You can go inside there. There is a Walmart. You go to a pharmacy store. There is a post office. That's how, you know, they have streamlined. And I'm always thinking, you know, even banking, the same way. So if we can, you know, push for these things in this way, where they don't have to put up expensive structures, thinking if their business, can't you pick up? How are we going to destroy these things? There is a plan.
Mm-hmm. Iareka?
Well, I mean, I agree with everybody. There's so many ways that so many avenues that we can use to take financial services to the district. And like Dr. Wilson mentioned earlier, working with people who've been in the banking system, I think, is critical. Because obviously they understand logistics better than we do, and they can give us that input that we may be missing, or you know just what same thing we're wondering here, how come they can't do it? So I think it's important that we get involved with banking officials and find out why haven't they used all these different methods that other countries are using? Because again. Just because it works here, it may not work in Zambia. It may not work in Africa for various reasons. Maybe technology, maybe other things that we are overlooking. So, yes, I think we can begin talking to them and finding out different ways that we can open up financial institutions in the districts.
Well, we have two former bankers, Zambian bankers, that I had the pleasure of meeting in Las Vegas. And both they went into partnership when they retired from their respective banks in Zambia. Barclays is one of the banks that they used to work for, and they have agreed, and they are on standby to help us answer these questions that Iareka just brought up and the suggestion that Roger is talking about in engaging banks. So they're anxious and willing and ready for us to bring them on board.
Absolutely. One thing I notice here, Iareka or Roger, Dr. Patrick, is that it looks like the partnership is broadening with African Youth Social Entrepreneurs coming into the picture. Our partnership with Zambia Chambers of Small and Medium Business Association, district executive leaders, and all the people that are on the ground that we are working with. We have a broad team, so to speak, of partners to work with. How exciting can that be, and how does that make our work easier, Roger, when we've got a variety of people to engage and to partner with?
Well, the key to that comes, and partly it also answers Yareka's query. You know, over here they may be very advanced in how they have done things. We are going to need a very complicated system to answer all these different questions. For instance, ZBTR will be there just to make noise the way we do every Saturday. Others will go and look into technology. What are they are going to be researching technologies? What are they? How are they doing it to make sure all these systems work properly? Some of them are going to be looking into hydropower. Let's talk about energy. How are we going to make sure that these banks are not suffocated because the power is going out? So we need as many as possible because the field is just broad. It's a big field. Those who are going to be promoting the youth or the district into value-added products so that there can be business. Business can flourish and therefore the need for a bank. So for us coming together, we are so far maybe talking about four or five organizations. It's not even enough. We need as many as possible to come together, look at different areas of development.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
I have one
Dr.
more
Patrick. Thing. Yes, go ahead, Eureka.
As we speak, I mean, I've already started talking to people wherever I go. I'm talking about the districts. I'm talking about the promotion. And every time I do that, the first question people ask me, well, after we've talked and they're happy and they're excited, so what do we do next? What do we do next? And I think this is where everybody comes in. Everybody, I believe, in the diaspora, even on the ground in Zambia, they know something. Maybe they know of a project, you know, in hydroelectricity. Maybe they know something about the road construction. They can come forward. This is how they come
that's
and
right.
say, oh, we know something. Mm-hmm. This is what's going on. How can you help us? And people are ready to go. People are ready to start working with them as long as they can show something on paper. Back to what Dr. Patrick says, bring your business plan. Tell us exactly what you're doing. And we can begin to facilitate these relationships through the same district project. So
exactly.
I think there's a lot going on already that all it needs is that extra push or extra support. We're just encouraging people to bring it forward.
That's right.
Absolutely. There are many areas and opportunities for investment, Dr. Patrick. Roger mentioned one of them, and I thought of just breaking it further down. We don't even think about the opportunities for solar energy in these places, Dr. Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Solar energy, renewable energy,
mm-hmm.
all of that is good, and that's the new wave. But what we're talking about, I'm thinking the initial upstart source of energy would be hydro. And hydro is 24 hours around the clock. Solar energy is not around the clock. It's supportive. If you have a lot of sunlight, that's good, but when the sun goes down, it slows it down. So there is, if there are some inventors that can develop solar energy power cells that can store it, then it'll be wonderful. And the same thing for batteries for automobiles. But at present, you need a supplemental source. And the supplemental source, the cleanest source that I can think of at present time is hydro or current source. So you target that and you can build on it. Robert had written an article or he published an article in which there is, and Robert can talk more about this, more with knowledge about this, but there is a reduction in the taxes with regards to electricity and as one of the companies are going in there, and as a result of it, they're reducing the taxes, and therefore it's allowing for additional power investment or building of different smaller size hydroelectric plants. Well, this is a mixture and a combination of what can be done. So always consider combining hydro with solar, hydro with bio sources that would move us away from oil, so to speak, or from gasoline, so to speak, because that's finite. It's going to run out. There is a lot of oil and gas out there now, but it's going to run out. So you need to have something else, alternate energy.
Once again, Yareka, let's go through this again. Somebody is listening to us in Chongwe, Chama, Mwinilunga, Sinazongwe, Manchester, Melbourne, Russia, or probably even in Seattle, and they are saying, this is exciting, guys. How do I get involved?
Well, the best way at the moment to get involved is to channel your ideas through the Zambia Block Talk Radio, and people can go to the website, which is www.zambiablocktalkradio.com, and we can look at, you know, whatever ideas that you have and how we can partner up, because we're inviting everybody. Any idea, you know, is critical, because there could be certain things that someone who's on the ground in Chongwe or Mwinilunga is able to tell us that we may have overlooked in our discussions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even sending an email, you know, whichever way, if you need us to call you, we can try and call you and to discuss. So, yes, just feel free to contact Zambia Block Talk Radio, and we will surely get back to you and find ways of partnering up with you.
Eureka, don't be modest. Eureka, to the listening audience, Eureka is putting together a website that is going to be so exciting.
Mm.
It will move everybody to say, oh, this is what's happening. This is what's going on. This. So, Eureka, talk a little bit about that wonderful, exciting website that you're developing. I mean, I just saw one page of it, and I was blown away. So if the listening audience is just waiting to see how they can engage, wait until you see this website.
Well, it's back to what
I agree with you, Dr. Patrick. I was just as blown away.
Well, it's back to what we've been discussing about information. Information is power, and we are trying to put everything in one page or one website where you can navigate the various districts. You can find out what each of those districts has to offer. You know, it's very difficult to get information about investments. For example, every time you talk to someone in Zambia, they say, oh, land is running out. You know, come quickly, come and buy land quickly. But they're not talking about the other district, I mean, the other provinces. They're talking about Lusaka. And it's not just about Lusaka. There's so much going on in Solwezi, so much going on in Kasempa. There's mining exploration, Mukoshi district, commercial farming. So we want to highlight all those things in the website. We want you to visualize what's going on. And, you know, just talking about it and encouraging you to go to Mpulungu or Chiluvi Island, it's not enough. We want to bring the pictures to you.
All right. Paul Bachin again coming up. Robert Chinga with Market Roundup. And then we'll go to Mpulungu to talk to the district health chief medical officer there at the district hospital. This has been Dr. Block Talk Radio Business Forum.
Yeah, that's all, John, and calling again for Market Roundup. Thank you so much.